This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, Congress votes on final tax reform.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Last night, House Republicans had a rare Monday evening meeting behind closed doors where leadership came in and they briefed lawmakers about how this bill they're going to vote on today is different than the tax bill they already passed in the House. I was standing outside that meeting. You could hear clapping and cheering from the members inside.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We, in 2016, laid out and articulated a vision for what we think is necessary to get this country back on its track. We spent all of our time together in our majority. Here's what it's going to take to get America back on its feet. Here's what it's going to take to help people who are struggling. Here's what it's going to take to get this economy out of the malaise it's been for a decade to get true growth, to hit our potential. And we're doing it today.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo, and folks, we have come to the day where Congress is set to vote on the final tax reform bill. As we've kind of discussed throughout on this broadcast, the House passed a version of the tax cuts. The Senate passed a version of the tax cuts. They went to what's called a conference. They have a final bill that's come out of that conference and over the weekend. And though I know we didn't spend time on the broadcast yesterday walking through kind of what is now, we can absolutely say, the House is voting on, which will be the same language that the Senate is voting on. So there won't be any changes now. And then it will ultimately, we predict, be on the president's desk, probably signed in the beginning of next year. No rush to sign this, obviously, in the next 10 days. But then when the new year begins, is how everything is predicted. Now, what we do know in Washington is that until this is done, we don't want to get too far out ahead, but we do want to take the time today to explain to you kind of what's in this final legislation. If you've got your questions about that, 1-800-684-3110. And what we're expecting today, let me go right to Washington, D.C. with Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, everyone predicts that this will move pretty easily through the House. In the Senate, if all goes as planned, it should move pretty smoothly, but on the thinnest of margins.
Yeah, on the thinnest of margins, John McCain, Jordan, is back in Arizona. We do need to pray for his health. He is in failing health. But we expect the margin in the Senate will be 51 to 48. Senator Corker has said he is a yes on the bill. So you expect every Senate Republican to vote for it. And just procedurally, Jordan, we are literally in a rule vote in the House of Representatives right now, which would begin debate on the House floor on this bill. So literally, this process is kicking off as we speak, and it will carry on throughout the day, spanning both sides of the Capitol.
All right, and so first the House votes, Than. That one expected to be, again, pretty smooth vote. This has not been so difficult for the House of Representatives. But then the Senate vote, which could be very late this evening, even into the – could technically be tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. I think about 1:30 in the afternoon will be final passage in the House. And then, Jordan, the bill is literally couriered over to the Senate. They will immediately have what's called a motion to proceed vote. Our listeners have been through this ritual before. That will sort of be the indicator vote on whether or not this is going to pass. I do think the vote will be 51 to 48 on it. And then after that point, Jordan, there can be up to 10 hours of debate on it. So the question will just be, will the Democrats yield any time back on that debate? If they don't yield any time, it could be after midnight into the early hours of the morning. I'm predicting, since the writing is on the wall, that Democrats might yield back a little bit earlier to make it a slightly earlier night. But still, something in the range of 9, 10, 11 o'clock on the East Coast, I think that's a very reasonable guess.
All right, Logan, we want to get people engaged. That's I want to know what people think about the final legislation. Have they spent time over the weekend as we kind of head into, and it's a busy time of year for everybody to get closer and closer to Christmas. But have you spent time on with the legislation? I want to get people's thoughts on that. Do they support this legislation? Are they excited about it? 1-800-684-3110. We're also getting comments through Facebook, Periscope, online as well.
Yep, a lot of people are getting their comments in online, but you can give us a call. Voices are needed. 1-800-684-3110. Call in right now. 1-800-684-3110. Like you said, you get your comments in as well, but there are phone lines open.
Yeah, and again, folks, I mean, initial reaction is just kind of, not even necessarily getting into specifics, but just where you are. Are you excited about this tax cut and the overhaul to the tax? This affects the corporations, obviously, individuals, small businesses. 1-800-684-3110. Also, Facebook and Periscope. We'll be right back on Jay Seculo Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, got a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Today, Congress, both the House and the Senate, are set to vote on tax reform. First, it goes to the House of Representatives. That will happen probably shortly after we're finished with the broadcast today. And then it moves to the U.S. Senate. That could happen very late tonight on the East Coast time and even into the early hours of technically tomorrow, if it occurs after midnight. Then it would head to the president's desk where the president could sign it. I expect that would be probably into the new year, just because of we're so close to Christmas now and the holidays, and the effects of this again would be the same as if it was signed a few weeks from now, if it was signed today. So it doesn't have to be signed by the president immediately. It doesn't change anything. He's able to, again, can come back. And when he's back in Washington, D.C., sign this legislation. I want to go right to the phones on this. Then we'll go to Than, too, kind of walking us through what's happening in Washington, D.C. But we've got a couple calls right
now. Yeah, a lot of people with very specific questions. We'll take them, though. Sue is calling in Arizona on line one. Sue, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Sue.
I want to know what this tax bill is going to do for the people who live on just Social Security.
So then, if you're just on Social Security, one, it's not affecting any of those programs, so that's important. But two, you're probably, again, already not paying taxes anymore if you're just living off the Social Security checks and the income that you've paid in over time when you were working. So that if that's the case, then you're going to be at the same, which is effectively a 0%. Again, we're talking about the federal tax. Obviously, you can all be in different situations based off where you live, what city you live in, what state you live in. But then that's the overall, generally speaking, is that Sue's position is probably not going to change based off where she is right now.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. On the benefit side, it won't change anything at all. In fact, you cannot change it on the benefit side in a reconciliation package. It's against Senate rules. On the taxpayer side, let's say someone is on Social Security and they do make at least some income on the side. Jordan, this bill is likely to help them because of the increase in the standard deduction. If you're a married couple and that deduction raises from $12,700 to $24,000 and you fall in the middle of that range, you will get some tax relief in there. But on the Social Security benefit side, no change, no impact.
Yeah, so I think that that's important. So if you're absolutely just off of Social Security, then it's probably not going to impact it. So, I mean, I think probably what you want to hear is it's not going to be changes. And then if you are making extra income, and depending on how much that is this year or the coming years, this should benefit you as the more that, obviously, as that rate goes up, if you're hitting the amount that would be a tax. We can go back to the phones. Logan, take another phone call to get some comments online as well.
All right, let's go to Linda in Texas online, too. You're on the air.
Hey, Linda.
Yes, I was wondering if the deduction for our tithes and offerings at church, will that be eliminated as well?
No, the charitable deduction is still there. There's actually, then in this final legislation, a lot of the deductions have remained. The difference is that people will be able to do a standard deduction. So, Linda, let's say, and I don't know your specific income level, but if you're someone who, if you deducted, let's say you're, assuming you're married and you deduct $24,000, then you could have, unless you're in a place where you're deducting more than that, but if you are and you're still at a place where it benefits you financially, you could still make those charitable deductions.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Charitable deductions are unchanged in this bill from current law, Jordan, as are all existing mortgages. So the mortgage interest that you pay is not there. So you're right. There will be some people who will be covered even if they don't make those contributions because of the increase in the standard deduction. But basically, on the vast majority of deductions that everyday Americans pay, and the charitable deduction and the mortgage deduction are the two big ones, those remain in this bill. So if you do clear that standard deduction level, you will be able to continue taking those.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So, Than, the rule has passed the House, so it's moving forward pretty quickly in the House of Representatives. The slowdown today comes when it hits the U.S. Senate, and it triggers 10 hours where the Democrats could force this debate. And again, depending on who you're listening to at the time, Than, I would imagine Republicans supporting it, Democrats who will be spending the time that they can attacking this legislation, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jordan. About 1:30, it will be sent over from the House to the Senate after it passes, and then it starts that 10 hours of debate after they take that motion to proceed vote. And just so people, if they're watching it, so they understand what's going on, there's going to be some general debate happen. And then, Jordan, there's also going to be a number of points of order raised against the bill. That's what we've talked about on this show called the bird bath or the bird rule or the bird challenge. Some people saying that certain provisions are not budgetary in nature. And so there may be some votes on some of those challenge or a ruling by the parliamentarian. Just by chance, Jordan, if the parliamentarian were to strike any little language out of it, it theoretically could go back to the House for a vote. But every indication that she's given at this point is that that won't be required, that everything that is in it will be germane and will not come out by the bird rule. So you'll see both of that. You'll see general debate and you will see bird-related challenges to the bill, and it could take up to 10 hours.
All right, back to the phones. We got any comments that you want to get online, or do you want to go right back to the phones?
There's a lot of people that are asking, again, kind of very specific questions, because a lot of people are wondering how this is going to impact them.
Yeah.
As Michael said, this is something that we talked about. Jordan, do you agree that if bill causes cuts in Social Security and Medicare to people who worked all their lives, does that make it no good? So a lot of comments of people that are – right. I think that's what
– there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to economic issues. I mean, most of – I would say – that first of all, like a decent chunk of people, whether your pastor got up on Sunday and said, you know, I don't like the charitable deduction, something like that happened. I bet most of you don't even take the individual deduction.
Right.
Most of you listening, even today with a much lower standard deduction for $12,000 for a married couple or $6,000 for a single person, are still not itemizing. I think it's like 70% of people don't put out every specific donation they made on their taxes because they're not hitting that amount. For those of you that do, that's like 30% of the country. This is a decent chunk. I think that shrinks to, so 70% don't itemize. This probably pushes it up to 85%+.
Yeah.
That means I could say that probably 85% of our listeners right now, the vast majority of you, it shouldn't affect any of those specific issues. It should just be a net plus. If it's not a net plus, it may just be you may be one of the people that falls into where it's not a tax increase. It's just you're not seeing a major tax cut. But for those of you who are still earning, who are taking income on the side, working on income on the side, and other income, and again, if you're a small business owner, it affects everybody uniquely. But there's some broad statements you can make. So there are projections that 90% of people won't need to itemize or won't itemize because of the deduction increase. And right now that's already at 70%+. So it's a large amount of people. It'll just be larger that though those deductions are still there, they won't need to actually take advantage of them.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a phone call because we got a lot of calls coming. Let's go to Carl in Phoenix, Arizona. On line four, Carl, you're on the air.
Hey, Carl, you there?
Looking at the medical deductions, eliminating that for people that are in crisis that are paying cash for their medical bills, I think is a travesty, as well as the elimination of a larger deduction on real estate property taxes.
Well, okay, so some people we want to get specific. So if the property taxes, if you're talking about state and local, depending on where you live, obviously, there's still a deduction there, and it's pretty large, up to $10,000. Yes, before it was fully deductible, and it didn't matter the income or sales and property tax. So if you're in a deeply, highly taxed state or a municipality, then you could make those full deductions. Now it's capped at $10,000. Thanks. On the medical side, are there provisions? I mean, a lot changed from when we were first talking about this and what the House and what the Senate was till the finalized legislation. Is there any provisions on deductions for the medical costs?
Yeah, it actually got better for people that do take those deductions in the final bill, Jordan. For 2 years after enactment of this law, you actually will continue to be able to take the medical expense deductions. And in fact, they lowered the threshold for what is allowed. Anything that exceeds 7.5% of your income, rather than 10%, which was current law before, will be deductible. And then, Jordan, just a quick comment on the other provision, the state and local taxes. You can use any combination of state taxes, local taxes, or property taxes, combine them together up to a cap of $10,000. So really, it's more friendly to people that take that deduction than either bill was prior.
And then on the medical side, where you say like the 2 years, these are provisions that could come back in the House that they can readopt, they can extend, and they're pretty popular. Like, Carl, there's that misinformation that's out there, and it's like they're specifically targeting people who are concerned. Right. You know, that we have some listeners right now, if you're not in a situation where your medical expenses are an issue, you're probably not thinking about that deduction as much. Others are really, you know, this is impacting them day to day because of medical issues they may be facing. So there was a lot of misinformation, Than, put out about this legislation as we head into the first official, I guess, vote in the House of Representatives on the final legislation.
There is, Jordan. You know what? I bet that will turn around. I bet it will turn around in February when everyone's paychecks increase and suddenly this bill is going to be wildly popular with the American people.
Yeah, I mean, then it doesn't matter what the media tries to sway people. They've been trying to sway votes. And they got it down in the Senate to the thinnest of margins. But, you know, I mean, just the thinnest of Republican margins. When we come back, we'll start keep taking more of your phone calls, more of your comments online. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So the House is moving forward right now as they're set to vote on the final legislation when it comes to tax reform that made it out of the conference this weekend. And we've been talking specifically on this broadcast about the House version, and then we've talked about the Senate version and what's in there and what's a little bit different. And now we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to make those distinctions. We actually know what's in the final legislation, so we can speak specifically to the broader kind of, you know, where the corporate tax rate will be. That's a significant cut. And again, I know the media and the left doesn't like taking that into account of how that will impact people. But when you are taking the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%, that is a much more incentive to bring money back into the United States, to keep money into the United States, reinvest, keep jobs here. I mean, that is putting us into a competitive bracket, especially when you look at, again, the kind of economy we are, the country we are, the benefit it can be to your company to be made in America. And so when you look at all those factors, no one wants to really, because people don't like to say, well, if you're cutting corporate tax, you're helping out the working man. I mean, people don't like to make that jump. But the truth is, that is exactly what the point is of cutting those corporate taxes. It's not to make someone who's making $10 million a year so they can keep another $1 million in their bank account. That's not the purpose of this. It's to make sure that those corporations as entities have an incentive where it's in the best interest of their shareholders to reinvest in the United States, to keep jobs in the United States, to put infrastructure into the United States. And so in this legislation for the corporations, you've got 5 years where they can fully deduct those investments into major building and the items, whether it's equipment, and they can fully deduct that immediately. That's going to be 5 years of, again, I think when you got to build the equipment, that's one company. All those parts that go into those equipment, training on the equipment, people to run the equipment. I mean, so you've got multiple factors there where different people at different income levels, but also in different industries are impacted positively because of the changes in this legislation. So we got plenty of phone calls brought in. Harry Hutchinson from our policy team as well to help with people's questions and their comments, and we're taking those today.
Yep, let's go to Karen first in Maryland on line six. You're on the air.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. A question that has arisen since I've been listening to you while waiting. You had mentioned that they're talking about the SALT taxes, the property tax, up to $10,000, a combination of just property taxes, state and local, or does that include state income tax as well?
State and local income, sales, and property taxes. So it's a combination of those three. I mean, Than, that's so it's those three combined. And so, again, for some people, depending on where you live in the country, you would never hit that full amount. It may not make sense for you to even based off where the standard deduction is. But if you are in that situation, Than, you do have it's the combo of income, sales, and property. So it's income or sales and property.
Yeah, it's any combination. And Jordan, the reason they made that tweak, remember the Senate eliminated these deductions altogether. The House had included a $10,000 cap on property tax only. Some of the members from those states came back and said, well, what about my members who don't have property? They're only paying income and sales tax. What about them? So they changed it to this combination model. You can deduct all three of them in any combination, but then it's capped at $10,000. It's a compromise, Jordan, that I think is going to get most of those members from high tax states on board the bill. Not all of them, but enough of them.
Yeah, it's especially Republicans from those. But again, if they're they represent their constituents, it tells you a lot that if there's Republicans out of California, and we already know there are people like Kevin McCarthy, who can positively vote on a piece of legislation like this, then much of what the left is saying about this is just trying to discourage people because of partisan politics. And again, I mean, you let it go into effect. Obviously, the legislation will speak for itself. Once it's been in effect, I think, for, you know, a year, give it at least a year, people may already see it increase again beginning in February, but at least a year, and then take it from there. Logan, let's get back to the phones.
All right.
People's questions and comments.
All right, let's go to John in Indiana, line one.
Hey, John.
Yes, I was wondering, I heard the Democrats say that the bill was only going to be temporary for the middle class, but permanent for the corporate tax cut. And how is that going to help the middle class in the long run if it's only temporary?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think first, John, remember, we're on that reconciliation, like we talked about with health care, to get to the 51 votes. That's why we're not talking about a filibuster opportunity here. Obviously, if we were, and you could do, you were just going through that normal legislative process, then the Democrats could easily stop this. So the corporate side, they're allowed to put in a permanent tax cut under the rules, and that is permanent at 21%. Now, it's permanent. Big asterisk with all legislation. This is not constitutional amendments here. So, I mean, it's permanent up until, you know, an election cycle. Congress is changing throughout these cycles. In the Senate, I mean, you're talking about, again, the slimmest of Republican majorities. And in the House, slightly larger, but Democrats think they're flipping things. Things could change. I don't think President Trump is ever going to sign into law, and I think he would prevent any kind of tax increase. But, okay, you're talking about three more years or seven more years, and then suddenly you've got someone else in. But Harry, it is correct, generally speaking, to make that statement that the individual cuts are for about a decade, and then the corporate cuts are going into effect permanently.
I think that's essentially correct. Jordan, all legislation is temporary in nature. New legislation may emerge depending on the election cycle. But I think the Republicans have set down a nice marker that is aimed at historic job growth and income growth. And I suspect in the long run, we will see very few changes in this legislation. In other words, the cuts in individual income taxes will indeed be made permanent in the long term.
Yeah. So it's kind of what we've been talking about here, Harry, of you've got to get this ball moving forward on this kind
absolutely
of legislation. You get it across the line. You can make more tweaks. Nothing is – even though this is the final legislation we can finally see the House and the Senate, that doesn't stop changes next year, 6 months from now,
absolutely,
updates, tweaking here and there, adding this, taking away this about this specific legislation.
I think that's correct. And for too long, the United States economy has lumbered along at about a 1.9% economic growth rate. This legislation is aimed at jumpstarting the economy, and it's very likely that we will move north of 3%, and that will lead to rising incomes, rising worker productivity, and it will also lead to the repatriation, hopefully, of capital back to the United States, and that will fuel even more job growth in the long term.
Yeah, and again, I think, Dan, you made a point, too, in our chat that this is pretty normal, that under the Bush tax cuts, I know this stuck out. It stuck out to me initially with the legislation of, you know, this permanent temporary, and then when you actually go back, and again, that's what we talk about historic. This only happens once every few decades, every 20, 30 years, where you actually start making cuts like this. And when you actually look at it, then when this is done, it typically is done this way. I mean, temporary, yeah. Again, everything with an asterisk, but this is legislation, and it can be changed and amended as we move forward.
That's right. The very famous George W. Bush tax cuts, Jordan, the same thing was in play. They were temporary initially because of a scoring problem. All of them, Jordan, were extended and made permanent. I predict to you that the same will happen with these.
Logan, we got a second half hour coming up. Tell people how to get involved.
That's right. If you don't get the full half or full hour, JSecular Live, we have a second half hour coming right up after this. Join us live on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jordan Seculo. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Welcome to our second half hour of the broadcast. Right now, the House of Representatives preparing to vote on the final tax cut legislation. It then will move to the U.S. Senate. And we're no longer talking about separate piece of legislation. We're not talking about moves to the Senate and they're going to debate about it for a few weeks. This is all happening today. And we believe that this easily goes through the House of Representatives. The Senate, again, right now, if you do the count, it passes by one vote. With the you still have the vice president who can cast a vote as well. In this case, that vice president is Mike Pence, and he would be casting a vote if necessary in favor. So you've got like a two-vote margin, but it looks right now that it's not going to be necessary. That being said, we'll go to Thanbit, Washington, D.C. Vice President Pence did push back a trip then to make sure he was there and ready today if necessary.
He delayed his trip just in case something came up. You know, the way the math works, Jordan, with John McCain out of the picture, it's almost impossible for there to be a tie unless, you know, something would happen that would prevent another senator from voting and bringing that tally down to 98 instead of 99. But at the bottom line, Jordan, I think it's going to be 51-48. Even Senator Corker and Senator Flake have said that they are a yes on this. And just to reiterate something that you said a minute ago, the Senate is actually prohibited from amending this vehicle, the conference report, so they cannot change it. The parliamentarian could strike some language if it's out of order, but there are no amendments that are in order, so we're not going to see changes on the Senate side. What we have in front of us, which is very lengthy, but it is the final version. It is what senators will be voting on late tonight.
All right, folks, 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines have been full, but continue to take your comments in. Logan, people can get their comments on Facebook and Periscope as well. There's a lot of unique questions, so I think that as we're answering them, this again, listen carefully because these may be all that apply to you.
Yeah, this one I think, though, maybe it's just a general comment. Richard in Chicago. Not a fan. Richard, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. You want my question?
Yep.
Yes. I think it's a good idea to be more competitive economically, but then under Clinton, the deficit all of a sudden became under control, but then George Bush passed tax cuts were passed under George Bush. And then that was followed by the Iraq War and the economic trauma, and all of a sudden our deficit was much worse than ever. So we have to fund the deficit every few months, otherwise the government will shut down. And so it doesn't really seem like a good time to cut back on taxes because of the deficit problem.
Well, I think that's, again, it's kind of like a fundamental idea. If you leave things the way they are, you're not going to change the deficit either. I mean, let's say you just stay where we are, Richard. You're not going to be cutting down on that deficit. You're just going to be doing exactly what you just said. You're not going to be either saying, okay, we think that we can either, I mean, you have two options there. You can raise everyone's taxes, and you may be able to bring some more money in, but let me tell you something. One thing is the corporate money is going to stay out. Or two, you could say, let's take the idea and put it into test. And again, that's why legislation is pretty easy to change, actually, if you want to. And say, Harry, we believe that if we take a corporate tax cut like this, make us competitive with the world, we're going to bring a lot more money in, and that's going to impact the deficit in a positive way. We're going to be able to pay down more.
Absolutely. So I think the essential question is, can we pay off the national debt? Can we reduce the national budget deficit with stagnant economic growth and the current tax code, which contributes to stagnant economic growth? And I think the answer to that question is no. So I think what we need now is dramatic change, forceful change in a positive direction that propels economic growth going forward. I think this legislation delivers. Is this legislation perfect? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But we don't live in a perfect world or a perfect universe in the sense that it's populated by human beings.
And Dan, as your point was, that this forces Washington to be more specific in the way that they spend our money as well. That they don't have these billions of dollars, and they still get a lot of money, but they won't have the billions to waste. Yeah.
The problem is not too much of our money in Washington or too little of our money in Washington, D.C., Jordan. They need to quit spending and they need to make us more competitive. This accomplishes one of those two.
All right, folks, we're back. We got a couple lines, 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We, again, are folks talking about what the House of Representatives and then ultimately the U.S. Senate will be doing later today. We could say with certainty this will make it through the House of Representatives, and likelihood it makes its way through the U.S. Senate. And so we're going to see, I think, right away, kind of the first major impact of this is that a major legislative reform thing under the Trump presidency has made its way through the difficult legislative process. You know, making amendments, small changes, that's one thing. We're on razor-thin margins here when we talk about the U.S. Senate, and we're talking about a corporate tax cut of 14%, and individual tax cuts all across the line, you know, 2% changes, 10% changes, doubling standard deductions for single and married people. So I don't think anybody wants to take that away, either from the political impact. I think that's why that many Democrats across the aisle still oppose this. There's no more talking point about no legislative achievements.
Well, quite the contrary, Jordan. This is a massive legislative achievement. Just a couple of bullet points. First of all, to make us more competitive on the corporate side, that reduction from 35% to 21%, that is jobs, jobs, jobs. And the unemployment number next year is going to dramatically improve. I would almost guarantee it. Then on the individual side, Jordan, come February, people will have more money in their paycheck. That will be popular across all partisan and political lines. I mean, I think that's a 90-10 issue for the American people. And again, Jordan, we haven't even mentioned this. We're nearing the end of the broadcast here. The individual mandate repeal, zeroing that out starting in 2019, That is in this legislation. So that is a significant step toward outright eradication of Obamacare. This is a huge legislative victory for the president and for the Congress.
Yeah, so it takes those hits at also the Affordable Care Act. You know, I mean, when we were fighting the Affordable Care Act in the Supreme Court, and that case was all about the individual mandate, and when the court ultimately said it could stand as a tax, that's when we said, okay, it kind of saved Obamacare. But if you took out the heart, which is what we said with the individual mandate, then you're not in that situation. And so if you truly believe what we were arguing then, that if you take the individual, these mandates out, that you don't have really Obamacare anymore, and that's not going to be an option, and then you have to kind of go back to the table, they could believe that today. And I think, again, that's, as Stan said, it was 40 minutes into the broadcast, we're just getting to that part of this legislation. Let's go to the right to the phones, Logan. Answer people's specific questions, broader statements as well. Let's go take line five.
All right, Wayne in Marietta, Georgia, you're on the air.
Hey, Wayne.
Just a quick question. Why, can anyone answer the question? Why was the original Senate version of the tax bill stated to not begin or become effective until 2019?
Well, I mean, I don't think that matters anymore. We know, Stan, that this will become effective immediately. People start feeling the impact immediately. You know, it probably signed in January, and you start feeling the impact in February, like you said.
Yeah, the legislative process worked on this one, Jordan. Yes, there was a one-year delay in the corporate tax initially. That was to keep the score under $1.5 trillion. Senators stepped up and said, we do not want that. We want the more competitive economy-spurring cut to happen immediately. That was changed. That will go into effect immediately. And, Jordan, I want to say this again, as will the individual rates. It will take Treasury Department about a month to finish those withholding tables, but come sometime in February, individuals, not just corporations, individuals will have more money in every single paycheck.
And that, again, is a very important point to make, is that from all these comments, and we just heard right now that this was a that this was going to be delayed, and even that delay that was initially in some legislation was only on the corporate side. I want to go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Dan on Live 4. Dan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Dan, you there? Or Don?
Don.
Don, are you there in Iowa?
Yes.
Hey, Don.
How are capital gains and qualified dividends going to be taxed?
Harry, do we have specifics on that, how this changes?
That's a very, very good question. There was a proposal floating around in the Senate bill that would tax capital gains on a first-in, first-out basis. That could lead to a rise in income taxes on capital gains for some individuals. That provision, as I understand it, and Than can correct me, has now been removed, so capital gains will be treated the same as it was under the prior
legislation. So no change there. And I think that those are all those issues where the changes are, you're going to hear them highlighted the most. If people were trying to be misleading, again, there's some issues there as well. But we're trying to clear this up for you. That's why we're taking your phone calls on all these kind of wide variety parts of this legislation today as it moves through the Congress. And once it moves through the Congress, that's it. I mean, it's going to be signed by President Trump if this makes it to his desk. There's no question it's going through the House. And I don't think at this point any talking point from a Democrat is going to change two minds in the U.S. Senate, but everything needs to work out. I mean, Than, you can't lose more than a couple of votes in the Senate.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've been through this exercise a few times, including on this very bill, when at the very end you had three senators go down, Senator Corker, Senator Flake, and Senator Johnson, and hold up the final vote. So again, we have 51 United States senators saying they are a yes on this package, and it cannot be changed, Jordan. So there is not a reason that any of them should change their mind. But until it crosses the line, we need to keep pushing and make sure that this tax cut for the American people gets over the line.
All right, let's continue on taking calls. John in Charlotte, North Carolina, on line 6. John, you are on the air.
I just want to respond to the previous caller with regards to Medicare and what that effect has on the taxes. It is true that this current tax bill does not technically affect it, but next year Paul Ryan's already come out and said next on the agenda is starting to cut Medicare, Medicaid, your social program. So ultimately, it's going to affect her and others, obviously. And,
well, first of all, there's no legislation to impact anybody's entitlement programs. And, John, I think that's, again, trying to mislead people. You're trying to make this statement. The president actually ran, I think was elected on, Than, like it or not, and it may be different where Paul Ryan is, but the president's been very clear. He does not want to touch any of those programs for the American people. And that's how he ran, and he's kind of governed and lived up to exactly what the specifics that he ran on, and those were one of those specific areas.
Well, and to suggest that a future entitlement reform to try to, I would say, salvage Social Security and Medicare and others somehow impacts whether or not corporations and individuals should have less of a tax burden, I think that's a non sequitur, Jordan. I do think there will be a debate about entitlement programs in the future because many of them are not solvent, but this is not that bill. And I would argue there would be less impact on benefits if we broaden the base, make us more competitive, and start increasing the revenue that's coming into the federal government. And Jordan, on the corporate side, the 35% to the 21% cut, that will do exactly that. So when the time comes for the entitlement debate, the beneficiaries of those will benefit because of this bill.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the intentional attempt to mislead people, to misdirect. So instead of talking about tax cuts, people want to focus on Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security. And the truth is, those programs aren't even changed one bit. Like them the way they are right now or not. You think there needs to be reform or not, those changes are not in this legislation. It is a distraction for people. And you see how John called in and he said so specifically, like he's in Paul Ryan's head. The people, same people who said that are also reporting that Paul Ryan is gone before that legislation, that he's going to retire. So making these specific statements about legislation, I would think that if it was this razor thin to get tax cuts through, we could debate, and I think you could support, as I do, I think Than does, entitlement reform. That is even a tougher line to get across, probably, and a discussion you'd have to have with the American people that's more difficult than cutting taxes. When we go into our final segment, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Harry, do you agree with Than, kind of the issue that come February, when people start seeing positive effects of this legislation, it doesn't matter anymore what the media narrative was, people are going to start looking at their paychecks?
I think people will look at the reality, and the reality will come from their paycheck rather than from the talking heads in Washington, D.C. The Democrats and their friends in the media have engaged in a misleading program of attacking this legislation. But the reality on the ground is that most Americans will receive a tax cut. Even the New York Times agrees that 75% of Americans will receive a tax cut. The Tax Foundation demonstrates that 95 to 100% of Americans will receive a tax cut. So there's reality, and then there's the illusion that is being pushed by a media narrative that opposes this legislation.
All right, folks, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to our final segment, and we try to take even more phone calls. And we've taken a lot today, but we're going to take more. And we got a few lines open.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. Quick comment you may be able to answer. Cheryl asked, does this bill have anything about abortion coverage? And
it's not a health care. I mean, it cuts at the individual mandate. So it goes to the Affordable Care Act, but it's not Medicaid. It's not health care.
All right. Well, we will be back in about 25 seconds online with an exclusive video coming up in the breaks. But if you aren't watching online, you should be. Log on. Find us. But phone lines are open. We also take as many calls as we can in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want your voice heard, now is the time to give us a call. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to JSecio Live, final segment of the broadcast. There we try to take as many phone calls as we can, and we've got a full bank of calls right now. There's one line that just opened up, 1-800-684-3110. You have to call in quickly to grab that. But I want to go right to the phones. We're talking about tax cuts. We've focused in on specifics, talked about broad impacts of this on the individual side, corporate side, small business side, what it does affect, what it doesn't affect, when it goes into effect, and it should be on the president's desk by end of today or very early hours tomorrow.
All right, let's go ahead and start these phone calls. We've had a lot of people on hold for a while. John is going to kick us off in College Place, Washington, online too. John, you're on the air.
Hey, John.
Thanks for all you do. You guys do such a great job, and I'm excited about all of the what the president's doing, and this tax overhaul is going to have so many benefits, I believe, to the economy. Just as high taxes tend to be oppressive, I believe that this tax cut will, as somebody said, will bring in more revenue to the government, put people to work, and have so many other benefits. So I'm excited for what this is going to do for us economically.
All right. Yeah, John, I agree with you. I think the way you said that is correct, is talking about it as an overhaul. It's not just about the cuts. It's about this overhaul of the system and how that impacts people short term, you know, immediate impact on your paycheck in February, but then also the long term impacts as well on the corporate side, bringing money back in, investment back in, allowing the deduction on the spending side, the equipment and the investments. That again, it lasts for 5 years on the major corporation side, and it doesn't expire on the small business side, but I think on the large corporation side, Harry, if you're telling the large companies in the United States who are operating in the United States that you can go out and spend and deduct on equipment purchases, I mean that's a lot of different people, from the people who put together the equipment, which is different than the company that buys it, and different than people that sometimes install it and then also train on it. I mean, you've got layers of people that are benefiting from those in.
Absolutely.
And it tells them you got to do it in 5 years.
Absolutely. So essentially, many of the Republican proposals will reduce the cost of capital. Reducing the cost of capital will increase the level of business investment, but it will also invite capital inflows into the United States, which will generate even more economic growth and more opportunity for American workers. Secondarily, I would note that there's an essential difference between cutting tax rates and government revenues. You can cut tax rates and increase government revenues, thereby driving down the deficit. So by cutting tax rates, we will likely see an increase in government revenues.
And then you would also focus, I know that Senator Rubio was very focused on this, the child tax credit has doubled under this legislation.
Yeah, it's doubled from current law from $1,000 to $2,000. In Jordan, really, it's done more than that, because under current law, it started to phase out if a married couple was making more than $110,000 a year. Now it doesn't phase out until $400,000 per year. So, you know, if you have four children, you're going to now be taking $8,000 of below-the-line credit. So that is $8,000 more in your pocket. Not $8,000 you don't pay taxes on. It is a positive gain of $8,000, whereas before, very likely, you were only getting maybe $1,000 or $2,000, depending on your income level. So it's a big change for families in America.
We were talking about this before the broadcast, but then some folks actually could be a net positive because of this legislation on the child tax credit.
That's precisely correct. Why? Because a portion of the tax credit will indeed be refundable against payroll taxes. So individuals who do not pay any income tax will receive a benefit with respect to the child tax credit allowance.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. It's probably the last time I'm going to give out the number today.
Yeah, Ruth in Missouri, line one, you're on the air.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi. My call is about the Obamacare penalty for not being insured.
Yep.
I personally am a single woman who cannot afford insurance. Even the penalty is less than it would cost me to buy insurance. When I need to see a doctor, I pay $25 to a clinic and get my medications at a minimal cost. But this year, I think it's supposed to double the penalty, and I'm hoping that this new tax law will take away that crazy penalty when you can't afford it, that you're penalized to pay more money.
It does. It fully takes it away. So the individual mandate is repealed. And then the difference is that the Trump administration was already treating, and all that, you're right, Ruth, all of those penalties were starting to go into effect at a much higher rate. They start off very low. They start doubling, tripling as you get into Obamacare further. But this legislation takes it from where the Trump administration said, we're not going to penalize people anymore. Whether it's on the books or not, we're not going to take any of your money. So they kind of zeroed it out. This legislation then actually repeals the individual mandate.
Well, it changes that penalty down to zero on the books. So the penalty officially under the ACA would be zero on the books. You would no longer have to depend on President Trump, who already did this for 2018. Yeah. So she wasn't going to have to pay the penalty anyway. But now a future president could not change that penalty without a change in the statute anyway. This changes it on the books.
All right. Back to the phones we go.
All right. Let's go to Roland, who's calling on line four in Massachusetts. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yep. You're on the air. Sorry.
Hey there, I'm on here. Okay, thanks. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, Roland.
My question is, does this repeal the Johnson Amendment, this bill?
We support that repeal of the Johnson Amendment. That's what prevents churches and other 501c3 and religious organizations from fully engaging free speech, and that can also include political speech. But then, ultimately, it did not survive the parliamentarians. As we kind of walked through earlier in the broadcast, all of these, because we're not going through the filibuster, legislative filibuster press. We're going through reconciliation. So they had to go through a parliamentary, said what you can and can't do. And ultimately they said you can't do that under reconciliation.
Yeah, this was a provision that fell out because of the Byrd rule. It was ruled not to have a significant enough budgetary impact, so it's not in the legislation. But Jordan, I will say this. We've heard from both the White House as well as Speaker Ryan. Remember, Whip Scalise is the main sponsor of this legislation in the House, and Leader McConnell, that this is something they do want to revisit. So it's fallen out of this package, but we haven't given up, and I do think this is something we have a shot at achieving on a standalone basis, hopefully next year.
All right, let's go. We've got, I think we got time to take that final
call. Sure, yeah. Cheryl in Long Island, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I'm at the lowest tax rate, the 10%, because I work part-time.
Sure.
That's going to go up to 12%. Will they withhold more from my paycheck?
So ultimately, the final brackets, I don't know how much you're making and all the other issues. If you're single, if you're married, what your deduction levels are. So first of all, your deduction is going to double from either to, it's going to go from 6 to 12, 12 to 24. But the 10% bracket is still there. So this final legislation, we still have the seven tax brackets. They start at 10, 12, 22, 24, 32, 35, 37. So I don't know exactly all your specifics, but the 10% is still available. Ultimately, I think this legislation gets judged not even by how we walk through all these specifics on paper today, but how it goes into effect beginning probably earliest in February, where you start to see the impact. That's pretty soon into the new year. 1-800, again, we're going to report on all this tomorrow. Stay with us on social media to keep you updated on the vote later today.
Talk to you tomorrow on JSEC Here Live. Find us on ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.